are new, it's this book right here. All right. Let's turn to Psalm number 122. It's a favorite of many of ours. If you're able to stand, let's do some of these singles. Pray that you would use each one of us in the areas that you called us to to be faithful to what you've called us to as well. We thank you for our opportunity to be here. Pray that you would be pleased with everything that's said and done. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn a couple pages over to 124. 124, My God and I.
These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of
you. Hopefully some of them you already know. All right, we will do one more song, and then right after that, the children's classes will be dismissed. All right, it's song number 125. If you're able to stand, we'll stand one more time. The old account was settled long ago.
South Carolina weather up here. This is some good South Carolina weather right here. Brother Jim, was it hot down there? Was it hot down there?
No.
But it was in the mid-80s. Yeah. No humidity? Amen. Yeah, I've had some friends down there said they sent me an email yesterday saying that the weather actually down there has been pretty nice thus far this year. So, amen. But it's a lot nicer up here waking up and being 50 degrees outside. I do like that. Amen. You know, no humidity. Amen. I like that. My daughter is saying that this is now winter for her. We're driving in. She's like, it's wintertime now. I said, well, no, honey, this ain't wintertime yet. Amen. Amen. But, yeah, down in South Carolina, I think for wintertime, I think it's like 2 days, if that, and then you're back to summer again. So, amen. Let's go to the book of Genesis here. It's a blessing to have Brother Javed, amen, with us, the missionary over to Pakistan. It's a blessing to have him here. When you're a missionary, you just got to, adjust all the time. So he was going to do Sunday School Hour and present his ministry there, but I forgot the projector because I left it at home. And so Melanie's going to get that. So Lord willing, he'll have the regular hour to present his ministry, what God's laid on his heart. But it's a blessing to have you here this morning, brother, with your wife. Amen. Let's take our Bible, look at Genesis chapter 2, verse number 12. We're going to read down through 25. Just as a review, last couple weeks, we've been looking at gold, we've been looking at delium, and then also the onyx stone. But Genesis chapter 2, verse 12, and says, "And the gold of that land is good, there is delium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihom, the same as that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, It is not good that man should be alone, for I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for an Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of the man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, just thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I pray that your will and way would be done today. Dear God, that you would be glorified, magnified, and honored. And Lord, I just ask for just wisdom and guidance now. Lord, just give us what we need. Help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. And Lord, that we would just praise you. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we were finishing up, and I'm just going to touch a little bit lastly on these onyx stones and how the priest bore upon him the onyx stones upon his shoulders and also on the breastplate that was on his chest. And we looked a little bit last week how that stone was close to his heart. And in order for our faith to grow stronger and stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ, he needs to be close to our heart. I guess what I'm saying this morning is that I don't know about you, but there's very little time in my day or my week that I'm not thinking about Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that I'm always thinking about him, especially if I'm doing a project or I'm busy working. But there's times through the day where my Christianity comes back up into my mind to where I'm thinking about my Lord. Because he is my all. He is my life. For me to live is Christ. For me to live now, after I've been born again, after I was converted, my whole mindset, my whole thought process, all of my desires changed and shifted the moment I got saved. I was made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away, and now everything appeared and was new because of the new birth. I was now born again. And all of a sudden now my priorities shifted and changed to what before I was living for myself, now I have a Savior to live for. Everything changed. I know of no salvation that doesn't produce a change in an individual's life. To me, that's foreign to me because of what Christ has done for me. I would think the same would happen in others who profess the name of Jesus Christ, that a change should take place, that your vision, your heart, your mind, and your thoughts are now about the Lord Jesus Christ. He ought to be close to our heart. Take your Bible, look over at Galatians chapter number 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 6. Galatians 6, 6. Galatians chapter number 6. Or I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse number 6. Galatians 5. And verse number 6. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 6. Galatians chapter 5 and Verse number 6, the Bible says this, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. But he that trouble you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross cease. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." You see, once you're saved, you have liberty in Jesus Christ. But the Bible says not to use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh. You see, Christ is close to my heart. Christ has saved me. He has made me a new creature in him. My sins have been forgiven. My sins have been washed away. I no longer have to worry about going to hell. My home is settled forever in heaven because of what Christ has done for me. But I'm not to use that as liberty for an occasion to the flesh. I guess what I'm saying this morning is, it's not my life no more. The life that I now live is, I don't do things by my own choices, but how God leads and directs me and what he desires for me in my life. Brother, I hope that you're going to Pakistan because God's sending you and you're not sending yourself. Because that would be very dangerous. It would be very dangerous to go on a mission field because you feel sorry for a group of people and feel like they need the gospel and God not sending you, but you yourself sending you. We don't call ourselves into the ministry. God calls us and God ordains it. And any individual that calls themselves into the ministry without the power and authority of God backing that ministry, that's a dangerous place to be. God calls, God ordains, and God sends. Who shall I send? Here am I, I'll go. The Lord says, okay, I'll send you. The authority of God sending you. Not using the liberty we now have for occasion to flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14 in Galatians 5. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Brethren, we need to be careful because the Bible shows here, Paul shows here to the church at Galatia that brethren can consume one another. The Bible says here, Paul says, he says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another. We ought to not only have the Lord Jesus Christ close to our heart as that onyx stone was close to the heart of Aaron, the high priest, we ought to have the brethren, I know I keep saying it, close to our hearts as well. Praying and interceding and being there for one another, not biting and devouring one another. You want to quench the Spirit of God, let there be strife, division, envy among the brethren, and you just quench the Holy Spirit of God. There's the Holy Spirit of God is, brethren, we have met to worship. We've gathered together to worship the Lord God this morning. And if there's strife, if there's envy, if there's biting amongst one another, the Holy Spirit of God is quenched. Thus, God cannot move in the services which we so desire. Proverbs 18:24. Take your Bible, look over there real quick. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. Jesus called his disciples his friends. Jesus called his disciples his friends. But look at Proverbs 18, verse 24. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 24. A man that hath friends must sit by themselves and never interact with anybody. A man that hath friends should get mad because nobody talks to them. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe. Jesus Christ is a friend that sticketh closer than even a blood brother, a blood relative. He's there with us always. But the Bible gives an interesting statement here. It says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know what's important with a church? And this church, I'm thankful for it. It's a blessing sometimes in between services to go up there and just observe people interacting with each other and talking with each other and fellowshipping with each other. Well, some will say, well, nobody talks to me. Well, do you talk to anybody else? Have you ever gone up to somebody else, got out of your seat, gone up to somebody else you ain't never talked to before and say, hey, how are you doing today? Just want to say it's good to see you here this morning. Now look, I'm preaching myself because that is so hard for me to do, and I'm the pastor. It's not my personality, and I've told you this before to my brethren here. That's not me. My personality is I'm content just to sit by myself and not talk to anybody, and I'll just be happy as a lark, no problems whatsoever. It ain't going to bother me if I don't talk to nobody. Just that's just my personality. But I need to see, and another way to some of it is pride. You say, well, I'm just shy. Well, in essence, though, it's pride. It's selfishness. It's not willing to be getting out of yourself in order to help others and encourage one another. See, by me just sitting and saying, well, I'm content just to not to talk to nobody, that's selfish. As a Christian, Christ desires for us to get out of ourselves and be there for others and encourage one another and to be about other people rather than ourselves. You've heard the statement before, what does joy stand for? Jesus, others, then you. People put that out there before. Jesus, others, you want joy, you put Jesus first and you put others first and then you last. But he that shows himself, the Bible says here, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So don't let the devil get in there and put these little thoughts, these little seeds in your mind saying that nobody likes me, nobody cares for me, there's cliques, there's this, there's that, nobody wants. Are you doing everything you can to make yourself friendly to others? That's the question this morning. And you know how you'll get friends is when you start putting the brethren close to your heart, just like that onyx stone. Say, Lord, help me to put others first. Help them to be dear to my heart because they're dear to your heart. Do you see this morning? If we're children of God, if we're the sheep of his pasture, then every sheep is dear to the heart of the shepherd and thus should be dear to our heart as well. Even when we don't agree with one another. Even when we might not like one another, even when we may have disagreements, we should still be close to the hearts of one another. He that hath friends, you want friends, you want people to like you, you want people to be concerned about you, you then must show yourself friendly. You must then show yourself friendly. Take your Bible and look over at Proverbs 17:17. Chapter before 18 here, look at chapter 17, verse 17 here in Proverbs. Look what the Bible says here. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Brethren, I believe this, I was talking with some people yesterday, and I believe this as sure as I'm standing here, it is going to get bad. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I don't think we're turning a corner and it's going to go back to the good way unless God performs an absolute miracle over our country and over this entire world. I think it is only going to get worse. But I will say that no matter how bad it gets, you can still have joy because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We are more, listen, brethren, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Too many Christians today are worried about keeping their physical body alive rather than serving Jesus Christ. For me to live is Christ. It's all about Jesus. And if I happen to go by death because of my service towards Jesus, then so be it. I've then gained heaven and the Lord. in his presence. For me to live is Christ, and to die is not sadness. To die is gain if you die in Christ Jesus. You see, this morning, the Bible says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. It's going to get bad. So, and when times get bad, the church needs to grow closer together. There was a saying by the martyrs of old time. They said, our blood is seed. It seemed like the more people were martyred, the more Christians were put to death during, you know, the 1400s, the 1500s by the Catholic Church, majority of the Catholic Church doing it. When they were putting Christians to death during that time frame there, the more they put to death, it seemed like the more the fire grew. The more true Christianity spread by the more people they tried to take out, because real Christianity was showed that these people had something and they were willing to die for it. And not only were they willing to die for it, but when they died, they had joy and they were singing hymns as they were getting ready to get burned at the cross. What kind of a salvation? Listen, brethren, that'll either drive someone completely insane in their mind, or it'll drive them to their knees and calling out to Christ to save them. If you're getting ready to put somebody to death by burning them at the stake, and as you're leading them to the stake, they're singing hymns and praises to God, you're going to be like, what is wrong with these crazy people? Do they not realize they are going to get burned to death? And they're happy about it? They're joyous about it? Tell me more about this Jesus. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We need one another, because there's also going to be times to where we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to be down. And we need someone else to lift us up. Take your Bible, look at, I think it's Ecclesiastes 9, or Ecclesiastes 4. Look over there real quick, because I'm on this thought process here. Look at, I think it's Ecclesiastes 4. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Yes. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, and look at verse number 9. A brother is born for adversity. The Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We're getting ready to face some adversity. Some are already facing adversity now. Therefore, we need one another, because if you're normal, chances are at some point through adversity, you're not going to be on the high end. You're going to be on the low end, and you're not going to be feeling like you ought to praise God. You're going to get depressed. You're going to want to quit if you're honest. But look what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It's difficult to go through this fight and this battle for the Lord Jesus Christ by yourself, as a loner. I'm going to do it by myself, and I'll make it. God's going to help me. No, you need one another. That's how God created us. I was watching something the other day on, I believe it was the Norwegian Special Arctic Forces. The men that make it into that elite force that they have there in Norway is very difficult to even get into the process to try to make the team. And then those that strive to make the team, very few make the team itself, because it's so difficult. And this one guy, he decided to go out with them on one of their training missions. And he said he went out with them, and he was supposed to be a pilot that they were rescuing him. And it was, I think, negative 30 or 40 degrees outside, and he had to lay still as they came in and they rescued him. And as they were rescuing him, things didn't go as planned. The helicopter couldn't make it in because of the weather. They were going to cancel the mission. But the mindset of these individuals is, no, we're not canceling this training. We're going to treat it as if it were real world. The only problem is the man that they were using really wasn't hurt. He was acting. So they weren't going to let him get up, because he had to act like he was injured. So he couldn't move in this weather. So it got to the point to where he really started to get hypothermia because he wasn't moving like they were moving. And you know what they had to do? They had to strip down basically to nothing. And the two men that were carrying him got into the sleeping bag with him and kept him warm and to bring his body temperature back up again. It's exactly what the Bible says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse number 11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? You see, preacher, what are you talking about? When we get close to one another and we build up our relationships, one of us may be cold in our heart towards our service of God, and two other individuals may come along that are close to you and help warm your heart, set that fire ablaze again in your service for Jesus Christ. You see, if you're by yourself, chances are that flame's not going to get set up again and burn like it should be for the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you have brethren around you to encourage you, to help you, to go on for the cause of Christ, even in times when you may be cold and frigid, they may just be that spark that's needed to get you back on the road that you once were on serving Jesus Christ. We need one another. Two are better than one. We need to be close to one another's hearts. Another thing a friend does, a friend stands in the gap. Take your Bible, look at 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. I don't know about you, but I covet your prayers. I covet the prayers of the brethren as we try to go forward together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 19 and look at verse number 4. Look what Jonathan does for David. 1 Samuel 19:4. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to thee word very good. For he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, as the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain. Jonathan interceded for his friend, his dear friend, David. And we ought to, as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, intercede for one another. Brethren, critical attitudes are horrific. How easy it is to be critical. How very easy it is. It is in our DNA. It is in our flesh to be critical of everything and everyone. If things don't go our way, then automatically a sense of criticism comes because it didn't happen like we wanted it to happen. And ultimately, that comes back to murmuring and complaining, which God hates. God hates complaining and murmuring. God delights in a spirit of thanksgiving, being thankful, just being thankful. One thing we can be thankful for is that we have a high priest that intercedes for us. According to the Bible, is there any good in us alone? None. There's no good. According to the Bible, if we're using the Bible as our what we stand on this morning, the Bible says, for there is none good. None. Now think about this. There is none good in any of us. If we're saved, the only good is Jesus Christ. And Him making us a new creature by His Holy Spirit and transforming us and changing us on the inside. Therefore, any good that we now do, it's because of the new birth and Christ working through us. Because outside of Christ, there is no good in us. None. So then what gives us the right then to be critical of others or situations when in reality we're not getting what we deserve? What do we deserve? We deserve hell. We deserve hell this morning. All of us. If an individual says, "Preacher, I disagree with you now. You're taking it a little too far. I ain't never killed nobody. I've never molested nobody. I've never raped anybody. Preacher, you're taking it a little too far. I don't deserve hell. Now, I might not deserve heaven, but I definitely don't deserve hell. I'm pretty good." No, you're not good. You're not good at all. None. You say, "Well, preacher, I ain't done this." Well, that's because you've never given the opportunity to do that. You see, we fail to realize we don't know the depths and depravity of our heart because maybe we were raised the right way and given some character to where we never did those bad things. But if we would have had the raising of like a Hitler, or if we would have had a raising of some of these individuals who are in an inner city right now, we very much might have done exactly what they did or worse. Our circumstances have dictated that we've lived a good life, or we're a good person. But in the sight of Jesus Christ, in the sight of our Heavenly Father in heaven, we are wicked and we're undone and we deserve hell. There's no good in us. So if there's no good in us, we ought to be eternally thankful for what Christ has done for us and the mercy and grace that He's bestowed upon us. And thus, if we desire to have God's mercy and grace bestowed upon us because we don't want to go to hell and we want to be made righteousness in Him through Jesus Christ, we desire God's mercy, we desire God's grace, we ought to then bestow that upon others. Imagine if God dealt with us as we deal with some others. We would be crying. We would be whining, "Lord, why are you doing this?" And the Lord looks down and says, "You're doing the same thing to another one of my sheep." A thankfulness and a love for one another close to our hearts. Stand in the gap for one another. A friend provides help and provisions during times of weariness and hunger. We're not going to look at it, but it's in 2 Samuel 17, verse 26. When some of David's friends provide him provision while he was on the run. Now, a man, I'm going to close with this morning. Back there in Genesis chapter 2, God gave man a commandment, and all of you are very familiar with it. God told Adam, "Listen, you can have of every tree of the garden you want, but one tree you cannot eat of it, for the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die." Man, from the beginning, was given one commandment and one commandment only, and that commandment was, if you do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat of it. Every other tree that you see, Adam, you can have it, you can eat it, you can do whatever you want with it, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do not eat of that tree. For the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you're going to die. And what does Adam do? Is we're going to go forward, we're going to see it again, and you know the story. Eve and Adam both partake of that fruit, but Adam is given a command. You know what we struggle with today, and most of us have an issue with, and most of, especially America today. You know what America has today that is going to be our downfall? You know what ultimately is going to be the downfall of America? Is its rebellion. It's a rebellion. We are a rebellious and prideful nation. Who are you to tell me what to do? Get out of my face. My rights. I got a right to be here on this corner. I got a right to do this. They even get the little head nod. They get the finger snapped. It's my right. Says who? Says the Constitution. I'll tell you this morning, brethren. If it's given between reading the Constitution or my Bible, and I ain't got no light, I'm burning the Constitution so I can read my Bible. Do you understand me? If I need a candle to read something, and the only thing there is my Bible and the Constitution, guess what's going up in flames? The Constitution, so I can read my Bible. You see, because we got the Constitution from the Bible. Isaiah, king, lawgiver, and judge. Came from the book of Isaiah. That's the three forms of government for the United States. Came from the book of Isaiah.
You say, preacher, if you burn a constitution, then what? You don't tell me the Bible can dictate how a country ought to run? But we're selfish. We're a selfish and we're a rebellious nation because we don't like when people tell us what to do. And that is going to be our downfall. You know, a country that is submissive in some ways is because they got a dictator in a sense, but people listen, is China. You know why I think China is going to be able to take over the United States someday? And it wouldn't surprise me if it happened. Because China can listen to their leaders. China is submissive. China has a national sovereignty about themselves, which America has lost. America is a prideful nation and has shaked its fist at God. And I'm not saying China hasn't done the same thing. But we know better. How many Bibles in China? How many Baptist churches in China? How many Methodist churches in China? How many Presbyterian? And I know some of the doctrines are different. I get that. But a lot of them preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. How often are you going to hear that in China? There's a Bible in almost every store. You go to Walmart right now and get you a Bible. You can go to Walmart right now and you say, well, preacher, they ain't got King James over there. They got an NIV. But you can still get the gospel out of an NIV Bible. You can still get out of an NIV Bible that Jesus died, buried, and rose again. He died for your sins, and through his blood, you have righteousness with God. You can't do that in China. We're held to a higher standard because of what God has given us from the very beginning of our creation here as a nation. We've been given the Word of God freely. We can read the Bible freely. We can come to church freely. We can worship God freely. You can't do that. Can you do that in Pakistan? Some areas. But there's also a chance you could be persecuted for there, correct? Try that in Afghanistan. Try it in Saudi Arabia. Go tell a Taliban you want to preach the gospel and see what happens. Brethren, we're spoiled. We're a spoiled country. And it's going to be our downfall. A brother is born for adversity. God gives a command to obey. To obey what? To obey his word. Obedience is key in all areas of our life. God desires for us to be obedient. Brother, I'm going to close with this thought, and we'll look at more next week. It does no good just to hear a preacher preach. I'm realizing that more and more as a pastor, and I used to hear pastors say it all the time. You preach till you're blue in the face and people still do what they want to do. It's like, whoop, whoop. Like people come up, preacher, blah, 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 blah. I just been preaching on this for the last 4 weeks. And it's like it goes in one ear, out the other. It does no good to sit in church and just hear the Bible preached, to come and say, I've gone to church today. We sang some good songs. We lifted up God. We praised him. And then go home and be the exact same way you were before you came to church. That does no good. God requires obedience. If the Holy Spirit bears witness to his word, to your heart, God then expects you to now apply it in your life. It does no good to just know. You have to now do obedience. It does no good to just, the Lord says, don't eat that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Yeah, Lord, I got it. I know it. I got it. And then you're not even in the next page, and what do you find? Adam over there with Eve, and they're messing around with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Obedience. Obedience to what? Not the preacher. Obedience to God's word and his leading in your life. Does the Holy Spirit of God speak to you? Does the Holy Spirit, I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm talking about a witness to your heart. And has there never been times in your life where the Lord's like, no, mm-mm. And you're like, yes, Lord. Mm. To where he pricks your heart or he woos you and he desires to speak with you and you know it. Do not these things occur in your life? When you read your Bible, Has there ever been a time where you're reading your Bible and just something just smotes your heart and deals with you about your walk with God? Brethren, I can't escape it. God's dealing with me all the time about all kinds of things. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, can I just have a break for a second? You see, some of us just want a 9-to-5 Christianity. Some of us just want a 9-to-5 Christianity. And we want a 3 weeks vacation. And God, just let me have some time to myself here. And then I'll get back with you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I'll clock back in again, God. No, the Christian walk is 24/7, 365, till the day he calls you home. You're not your own no more. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. Are you obedient this morning? Are you obedient to what God's trying to do in your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord. I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, thank you for this precious book. Thank you for the precious brethren that have gone on before us through the centuries, dear Lord. Lord, I'm thankful for those precious brothers and sisters and even children, Lord, that stood for your word. They stood for the gospel of Jesus Christ, even to the point that they lost their lives. And Lord, I pray you'd help me, Lord, to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, dear God. Help me, Lord. Lord, help me in those times where I get a little rebellious, Lord, in my spirit, dear God. Help me, Lord, in those times where a little pride starts creeping up and I think, Lord, this is what I want and it's not what you want. God, help me always to be submissive, dear God, and yield to your spirit and to walk in the spirit and not the flesh. Lord, may you be glorified this morning. May we walk closer with you. May we love you more. Lord, may we love you more and love one another more than we did yesterday. And Lord, you'll receive all the glory, honor, and praise. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I said this 2 weeks ago about in this room here, I got some chairs set up. So in about 5 minutes, if any men want to go in there.